Hey everybody, this is Justin Case, and this is another episode of Case in Point. This is episode 60. This is great. We finally hit 60 after a few years. Yeah, we don't, we're not as active as we should be. Anyway, tonight I've got my friend Ponch and my other friend Kyle Davis tonight, so it's great to have all three of you on. Kyle stepped out for a minute. He's going to chime in a minute and start, we'll start and just catch up with us when we're riffing here. Yeah, I did, I've been watching more of the Dragon Ball Super. I think I'm up to episode 51. So, those are pretty quick watch, and I'm just trying to get caught up, you know, to where you guys can ask me questions, I can ask you questions. I even watched a couple of the older Blu-ray, like the Blu-rays, they are older because some of them are, ones from, I think from like 2008, to, you know, around there. I watched the cooler, both the cooler movies. Those are on the same disc, and then had the, let's see. Those are the only old ones I watched, yeah, it was those two. But yeah, and a few days ago I did watch, let's see. Oh, what is the name of that? Is it Wrath of the Dragon? It's the one with Trunks. It's not Trunks, it's, he's in it, but it's got the guy from the future. With. So I've been watching some of those older ones. It was good to watch the older, cooler ones, because I hadn't seen those probably in about 18 years, so that was pretty decent. But yeah, so they look pretty good. I mean, I think the last time I watched those two films was, I have them on VHS, and I bought them in the store in VHS, so that's because VHS was still being circulated in the early 2000s. So that was kind of neat, and it's funny because it's like the VHS tapes where it has the white plastic clamshell, or it'd have the black plastic clamshell built into it, you know, as opposed to just being a cardboard sleeve. And kind of like the old, how they used to do with the Disney films, you know, with the cartoons and all, like Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid. Not that I care about those. I really don't like, I do not like most Disney stuff. I think it's lame. Even when I was a kid, I was like, this is not for me. It's all the same storyline as far as plot devices. Don't care for it. I do like Sword in the Stone. That is one that's pretty good. I did watch that on the Disney app, whatever it is, the Disney Plus. And watching the WandaVision on there. I've been keeping up on that. That's been interesting. I don't know, Ponch, do you have the Disney app?
Yeah, I have it. That's a weird show. Not bad weird, but weird.
Yeah, it's rather strange. And it's interesting because it seems to be going in a darker direction at this point as far as, you know, sorcery, things of that nature. So now we kind of see kind of like what's behind all of it. But anyway, it's interesting because I have the West Coast Avengers West Coast comics, especially the ones that, I think I have the original miniseries that came out in the mid-80s, and that one's pretty, I should say it's good, but I like it, you know, there's a difference there, so.
Yeah, your level of good is way different than most people, so.
Well, I'm eccentric, okay, it's an eccentric good, it's like for my own reasons. what was that thing I said before with something was highbrow. I don't remember what it was, but you laughed because I'm like, what am I talking about? Nothing is associated with that as highbrow. I think it was Kmart. It was Kmart or something like that. Said, what are you talking about? Oh, that's right. It's the Kmart from the New York City subway. There's a Kmart. It's high end. And then you go, you just looked at me like, what are you talking about? You know? Nothing is high end about Kmart. Okay, well, it was well stocked. Yeah. That's about all you can say about it, you know. But and you've been in that Kmart before, haven't you?
Yeah, a few times. I mean, I didn't go there often, but I've been there a few times.
You weren't there looking for doilies or arts and crafts supplies?
No.
Making dream catchers.
There's plenty of other stores for that. Yeah, I don't remember last time I went there. What was kind of cool, though, is that I don't know if it's closed. I don't know if it's open or closed right now, but one of the 34th Street stops, you can, like, once you walk out of the turnstile, you actually can walk right into the Kmart. So it's not like you have to go outside to go in. Like, when you get out of the subway, go through turnstiles, officially to go out of the platform, you can go right into the store. There's, like, an entrance right there, so that was kind of neat. But, yeah, I don't remember last time I was there.
So never has it been easier to get fun-sized Snickers and Milky Way bars in a bag than it is at the New York City Subway Kmart, directly through the turnstile.
Yeah.
That's everyone's dream come true. You know, it reminds me of Tom Green has videos, his older videos. He actually has his own channel, and he put them up there. And I think it's his own channel. I had to go look at that again, but he does have a podcast, which I thought was interesting. He's got some pretty interesting stuff on there, but it's been a little while since I checked, but he has some neat stuff on there as far as cryptids and paranormal stuff. It was kind of funny, but hearing him talk about that. But maybe it's a tongue-in-cheek thing, I don't know, but the guests he has on there probably don't feel like it is, but that's probably his intent. But at any rate, he had this one where this guy was like, come with me, please. Come with me, please. Because he was using the intercom. And he's like, come with me, please. Where are we going? Where are we going? Just come with me, please. Come with me, please. And he was trying to get him to leave, right? And then he gets back on the intercom again. Okay, come with me, please. And he wanted to take him up into, like, this holding area. He's like, no, I don't have to go. No, I'm leaving now. I'm leaving. Like that. No, come with me. Come with me. Okay, well, you can't stop me from leaving like that. He goes, come with me. He goes, then he acted like he was going to go with him, and he faked him out and ran out of the store. It was great.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I remember watching those when they were brand new.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I can't remember most of them, but I do remember the one where he was on the wheelchair, and he would, like,
kill himself. Oh, classic. Yeah. Elsa! Yeah. We can't do any shopping these days. And he ran over all those Hostess pies. There's fudge all over the floor because he ran over the pies, and there was chocolate all over. Those fake tires, tread was all over, tracking Hostess pie filling all over the floor. And he got away at one point. One of the employees lunged after him to catch him, and he got away. Oh, he's hitting things, knocking things over. Oh my gosh, get him out of here. Does he do this stuff in, like, New York City and stuff? And he did one where he's in the bubble. He's in a giant bubble, like he's a bubble boy. He goes, all I want to do is watch the game. And he took it out. He was out in Central Park with it. I think it was Central Park. He took it out there. And they're trying to kick him out of the ball game because it was, like, some kind of peewee league or a kid's extracurricular, like, baseball game on a weekend. And he's like, all right, here we go. He kept wheeling it. He was in it, and he kept rolling it towards the thing. And one guy pulled out a knife finally, the umpire, and stabbed it. He goes, I can't breathe. And then everyone was shaking hands. He was like, oh, he gave the guy a hug and everything. Because he was relieved that he really wasn't suffocating.
My goodness, awesome. That guy's freaking crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was in Fabio's house, and Fabio had that, I can't believe it's not butter, like, in spilled his fridge. That's all that was in there. So how much was the stereo system? How much was it? Just give me something. I'd rather not say. Come on. How about the speaker? Just for the speaker right here. $250,000. Like that. Just for a speaker. And his kitchen was full of dirt bikes. And then he gets on there, and he has Tom Green. Tom Green's on the back of the dirt bike with him, doing shirtless. They're both shirtless. He's doing wheelies with it, going down the street, which was interesting because it was like, you know, it was like a suburb of Los Angeles, you know. And the gang, gang, gang.
Oh, God. Yeah, I wonder where you can watch those at.
YouTube.
On YouTube or... Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where I got refreshed on them. My memory's not that spry. I had to refresh myself.
It's been years since I watched it. Yeah, basically since we were in high school, I think.
Yep.
The last time I watched it.
Yeah, crazy. It's been a little bit. Yep.
Yeah.
And some funny stuff, but... Yep, so... I like to freshen up my sense of humor on things, since these days nobody has a sense of humor, so I like to stay that way, personally. I live in my own little time warp bubble of humor, you know.
Yeah, so. Case Studios.
That's right.
<It's> called.
yeah, like we're official, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I acquired, you'll like this, it's like an episode of Hoarders. You know, he keeps acquiring these things. And
cool.
Jackson Randy Rhodes. You know?
That's awesome. It's a flying V, right?
Yeah, it's a Jackson Randy Rhodes Jackson flying V.
That's awesome. That just straight up makes me jealous right there.
Yeah, I was doing a setup on it. I was setting the bridge and trying to get the bridge level and setting the action on it and stuff. And yeah, so I think I might need to adjust the truss rod on it, but I oiled the fretboard and, you know, because it was pretty dry when I got it, so.
That looks pretty light.
It is light. It's super light. I mean, there's not a lot of wood here, you know, and I think it's a basswood body, and basswood's super light, but it's a really good, just middle-of-the-road tone wood. In fact, that JP 6 and 7 I have, those Ernie Ball guitars, or those John Petrucci signature models, those are basswood, so it's definitely something that's used for, like, it's a really affordable wood for the factories, but it does not denote low quality at all. It's just, it's easier to get than, you know, some of the other woods right now. So, I mean, there's been FBI raids and everything else over rosewood, which is what Fender and Gibson, you know, use, and a lot of other companies were using on their fretboard material. And I remember about, what, it was like 6 years... It's been about 10 years now. They had a huge FBI raid at the Gibson factory, at Gibson Guitars, and they're all sitting there doing their work and just working away, and all of a sudden there's all these agents pour in there, and they're just like, all right, everybody out, you know. And
for what?
They seized the African rosewood, or Indian rosewood, excuse me. I think there's different types that they had, and they seized all of it.
Was it supposed to be illegal, or?
Well, according to them, it was, but Gibson had no idea, you know.
Interesting.
So, yeah, but you go on YouTube and see, there's a video of that archive interview with the then CEO of Gibson. He's been removed, and they've got a different guy in there now. But, well, Gibson went bankrupt, declared bankruptcy, and then they reformulated themselves into a different, they just acquired Mesa Boogie Amps, which is, those of you who aren't aware, it's a amp company. It's kind of like boutique, but it's one of the sought-after brands that's out there. And like John Petrucci from Dreary Theater, he's got a signature amp through them. And he might be the only guy who has a signature amp through Mesa Boogie. But anyway, those kind of stuff, those topics you can find on my other podcast, the Pod Rock Podcast. You like how I wove that in there? Pretty nice, huh?
Plugging yourself, man. So sad.
Yeah.
It's a show.
But yeah, you can catch us on my other show. We just did our debut episode. Catch us out on Twitter. PodRock1. It's something like an official radio thing.
Oh, goodness. But, speaking of music, though, I've been listening to during work. Spotify has some Steve Austin classics, his podcast, and it doesn't have the entire catalog, just like it's sort of like the greatest hits, but he had Chris Jericho on it, and mm-hmm. you know, it's his podcast in general is pretty fun, but I was listening to a Chris Jericho one, and I was shocked in that Steve Austin, they're talking music and bands and stuff, and just out of the blue, he starts talking about Dream Theater. It's like, wow, how does Steve Austin know about Dream Theater?
Austin knows about Dream Theater? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty surprised about that because they're talking about, like, I think they're comparing, they're doing, like, an analogy of, like, the way certain wrestlers, their work, some of them are just, like, plain, cut and dry, like, no emotion, then others are, you know, they put their, you know, they work more at it, so you get more emotional, you know, resonance.
They really sell it. They sell it.
Yeah, exactly. So right. He was kind of doing an analogy of like, I can't remember exactly how he connected, but he was talking about Dream Theater, how like, you know, not everybody, you know, they, I don't want to say love or hate, but you know, it's a very niche type of thing that like your standard pop rock people, they won't, you know, who listen to that kind of stuff won't really be into Dream Theater because more about technicality and stuff, but
yeah,
still,
totally I was kind of, they don't care. Yeah
I was just shocked that wow, Steve Austin, I mean, I don't know how varied his musical knowledge is, but that blew me away. And of course Chris Jericho of course knows about them, and
yeah, he's talking about them for a little bit. He's a big prog fan and also European power metal. I know Chris Jericho's a big fan of that as well. But yeah, that's cool. Yeah, because I know that Steve Austin's like he really likes Deep Purple.
Yeah.
He likes that song Stone Cold for obvious reasons. Yeah, my name's six after that one. Yeah.
And what's weird too is that one of the other episodes that Spotify has shut up. He has that rapper guy, whatever name, Post Malone, so you know. There you go.
I always think of Thanos when someone mentions that guy's name because someone had sent me a photoshopped GIF instead of his face. It was Thanos on there grimacing getting hit with something. Where it's that one where he's got his hands up and it's that and he's got that orange puffy jacket on and it's like the yellow background. And someone put Thanos's face on there. It's really funny. The Josh Brolin Thanos face. He's like that. It always reminds me of that. I go, who's funny. The guy in the puffy jacket? And someone's like, hey, man, it's Post Malone. I go, I have no idea who that is. I don't listen to hip-hop. I don't listen to rap. It's not my thing. Don't care.
No.
And,
But what was interesting, though, is that you know, they did touch upon his music and stuff, but they dove more into like what he actually was into and you know growing up, and you know he was like really big into like country and that kind of stuff. So it's just kind of
right.
That was kind of weird, but I don't know. I guess my initial point is that like you know within like a few podcast episodes, he goes from talking about Dream Theater and Prague and. You know, hard rock and stuff, and then he has, you know, from that to having a rapper as a guest on another episode. So it's cool that he's kind of pretty, you know, he's pretty varied and doesn't definitely not lack of material to listen to, that's for sure. So
right. But, well, speaking of wrestling, I want to go on the show with later on is acquisition syndrome. No, I'm just kidding. I have tendencies. We know that. We know I have tendencies. But at that being said, I do have a Goldberg I picked up, and he has cool. the blue world championship belt, which I thought was neat, you know? And. Yeah.
When he was a transition champion.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is the WrestleMania line that has the Paul Ellering with Rocco build a figure. I was like, I gotta get this just because so I can have the ventriloquist. next in the line for that is the Shawn Michaels. He's the second one, and this is the second variant of Shawn Michaels I have, and I really despised Shawn Michaels. He was a great heel. I have another variant of him. I actually have three different Shawn Michaels. I have the Rockers version that's in the arcade machine.
That's cool.
Yeah, I got it all beat to snot. There was a GameStop that was closing here, and I picked it up there for like $7. I mean, And it's funny because I said I'm going to leave it in the package because it's all beat up. It looks like an old beat up arcade machine, right? So third on the list I got, which is not part of the WrestleMania line, it is the Stunning Steve Austin from WCW with one of the tag belts.
Ah, when back when he had hair.
Yeah, back when he had hair.
Comb over.
Yep.
That's cool.
And he, this is cool because I have the Brian Pillman so that you can reform the Hollywood Blondes because it's not the silver vest, but it's pretty close. So I was like, man, I don't know if they'll ever release the Brian Pillman, but maybe they will because they did this version. So I don't actually have a Stone Cold Steve Austin figure. I have I've got the Ringmaster Steve Austin with the million dollar belt. Yeah. And so these are the two Steve Austins I have, and these are the two I prefer actually. And Stunning Steve Austin was great in WCW. I thought he was awesome. And that persona is very underrated. And so it's great that they're getting some of these, I guess say deep cuts. I mean, he's obviously not a deep cut, but that gimmick is definitely more, you know, sub-tier. So, yeah, and then the other one, what's that, Punch?
That's definitely not a gimmick that he's mostly known for, obviously. So, but it's still cool. They're digging deep to release that kind of stuff.
Well, he's known to the Case Boys, most foremost. It's that. Jason and I always talk about how great Stunning Steve is, and I'm the only one that talks about how great the Ringmaster. Jason goes, you love that guy. You thought that guy was the greatest thing, which I don't remember, but, you know.
Goodness.
It's funny when, like, Steve Austin talks about, like, well, that was just something to get my foot in the door, you know. Vince is like, yeah, bring him. We'll call you Ringmaster. So, totally unrelated, but then I had an epiphany that this is a Don Morocco.
Oh, my goodness.
And he has the same tie-dye tank top as Superstar Billy Graham.
That's cool. And
so he was a big guy.
Dude, you know,
Don Morocco was freaking huge.
Yeah, that's another thing that that they touch upon. You know, it's not just the Steve Austin podcast, but just other like wrestling podcasts I've been like listening to here and there. But late 70s, most of the 80s and early 90s, it was like the big men in wrestling. And my father, he was a fan of he's an old school guy, kind of Big Chin. What is his name? His name's drawing my tongue right there. I think he was mostly popular in the 70s. Super huge guy though.
Big Chin, huh?
What is his freaking name? I think he was probably one of the more popular wrestlers in the 70s. I just can't.
I'm a little weak on the 70s wrestlers.
All right. I'll tell you right now because it'll drive you crazy. But yeah,
while you're looking it up, feast your eyes on the Mae Young,
goodness.
First time in the line, Hall of Fame inductee, everybody.
Oh my goodness,
there's a good shot there. I couldn't leave Walmart without it, and I will say that. A lot of the packaging is pretty beat up nowadays when you go to a Walmart because the fanboys and the scalpers tear through those things like a bunch of crazed animals.
Yeah.
And I did pick up a Fiend.
You know, I really like the gimmick, the Fiend gimmick, because it's kind of like
probably his best. It's probably his most animated one, at least.
Yeah. It's also like I see it as like a modern day Mick Foley where you got like two or three different characters going on, one wrestler,
and he's able. A cool wrestler, yeah.
Yeah, he's great, man. Oh, the guy I was thinking of was Bruno Sammartino.
Oh yeah, that guy. He's from Pittsburgh. That guy he's a legend.
Yeah, and in his heyday, he was ginormous and like my
he's about my height too. He wasn't very tall.
Yeah, and like, yeah, even if he was like my height, he was still having enough muscle mass to be ginormous. But
well, you don't you don't have to be tall to be tough and strong. I mean, that's go for the knees, man. Take it out. Like freaking Taz, I wouldn't have messed with Taz. You know, of course, pick a hand, right? I mean, I guess maybe I should.
You know, another guy I always liked too was Dino Bravo. That guy was a beast too.
Oh yeah, yeah. He did that bench press. Remember in Primetime Wrestling they did the bench press thing? Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, he was a strong guy, legit tough.
It's like the ring couldn't hold all the weight he was benching. Seemed like
that was gonna fall apart. You'd see the thing actually bend.
Yeah.
The bar would actually bend. I mean, he was a legit strong guy.
Yeah, that guy was awesome. Just think of Vice had a documentary like that. Dark Side of the Ring. They had an episode dedicated to him, and that's pretty tragic. What happened to him?
Yeah, it is definitely. And same thing with Adrian Adonis. Same thing.
Oh yeah,
similar. You know, kind of a mobbish type activity stuff. You know. And here you go. There's these rings. This is Andre the Giant.
Is that the WrestleMania 2 where he was in that little mini cart?
Yeah, it's the ring cart. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I should go back and get another one. I'd go get one of these for you if you want.
Yeah, sure, man.
I also picked up the Macho Man.
That's awesome.
And now it is important to note that these are the basics. They don't have the ab crunch, but they're still amazing. And I know. Do you watch that Zack Ryder podcast? There's that wrestling figure. Well, it's an action figure podcast. You probably subscribe to that. But
I see a lot of the YouTube videos of that where they go toy hunting to like different shops and
I love that stuff.
Oh, it's great. Like him and Kurt Hawkins, it's not really a competition, but Zack Ryder makes a competition to see who spends the most.
And they're funny guys.
Yeah. Man, but it's so cool seeing some of the stuff that they like find and eventually buy and stuff. And like, it's kind of, I guess as a collector, seeing like the type of valuable stuff they buy, especially Zack Ryder. He like opens everything. A lot of the things that he buys, he ends up opening because he has that let him breathe type of mentality when it comes to most of the toys. And at first it's kind of like, oh, right. No, that's too expensive. But then after he opens them, it's like, actually, that's a pretty cool figure.
At least he
can display and stuff. So, but
That's what you're supposed to do with them, dude. It's boring to let them sit in the package. And it's like, he opened up, I remember, so my brother turned me on to that podcast.
That's great,
and
man.
In the YouTube channel. And he was telling me how people they get real mad with him because he opens up an old AWA figure that's like mint on card. And, you know, AWA wrestling figures are expensive because they're Remco. They're hard to find, especially in package. He opened up, he had one of the championship belts that he opened up, you know, and really back in the day, they're just cheap plastic. I mean, it's nothing, you know, great, but it's really interesting because I really like those. And I had some of those as a kid. And a lot of times our cousin Mikey would give us, in fact, I talked to my cousin Mikey few months ago about those figures. Like he had Ric Flair, Larry Zbysko.
Wow.
He had the Road Warriors, and then he had Larry Zbysko and Arn Anderson. Was it Arn Anderson? They both had red trunks. I'm trying to remember who Larry Zbysko's tag partner was in that toy line.
Oh,
like
I'm not sure.
1985. I mean, it's been a while. I have to go look up. I'm sure there's somebody out there that might listen to this show that's like, you idiot, it's this guy. Well, I don't know. So there you go. And I don't remember, at least. And so, I'll have to look that up. But it's funny because they've got, like, the tag team, the Fabulous Ones. I believe the Fabulous Ones are on there. Maybe it's not them. I'm really digging a hole here. We'll have to revisit that on a different show, but different episode. But what were some of the things that I know we're waiting for Kyle to get back, but really wanted to go with this was like maybe some of the things you've been out and about acquiring, some things have caught your eye, and maybe you're like, hey, this is really neat. Do you have a little rundown of those? I know Kyle saw when he gets back. And there's Kyle.
Speaking of the guy.
I'm back. I was trying to clear some of my background noises, but like I was like you guys were talking about the WWE, WWF. I think I had recently found some WWF pictures.
Jerry Lawler.
I sent you pictures of him. One of the older packagings. But I think on that day. I was hunting more Star Trek stuff than I was, WWE. But I know a lot of my friends are WWE or AEW fans.
I do have the Chris Jericho AEW, the first wave that they came out with. I was gonna get it, and I decided not to. But then someone had tried to hide it, and the package was a little beat up, and I bought it and stuff. I'm glad I did. But so what I was gonna do, Kyle, is Poncho, I'll have you go first. Some of the things that have caught your eye in your travels in retail. And you got a few items, or maybe fairly recently, that you're really proud of.
Well, I don't have anything to show physically. They're all in the other room. But
You've got a store that's near your work, right, that you go to or on the way?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, We had talked like during the week or whatever about there's a store like a block away from my job. It's been closed since the lockdown last year. I don't know if they're permanently closed or not, but when they were open, they specialized in mostly Japanese toys. You know, obviously like the figure art Dragon Ball Z figures that we collect, and then also other brands that are also in the figure arts line, and they also have like I don't know if you guys are interested in this, but I don't have a ton of them, but I've been getting into the I've been into it for a while, but I'm into the Bandai model kits that they have. I have a few
those are pretty
Gundam
nice
ones, and actually I have a few here, hold up. I have some.
Those are pretty. Those are pretty affordable too, aren't they?
Oh yeah, Well, if you get the Gundam ones, you have different scales, and the smaller the scale, of course, is going to be more. You know, a lot cheaper.
Right.
So you have like I think the 1/144th scale that I think height wise they're comparable to 3 3/4 inch figures. And then you have, you know, it goes from there, like 196, whatever other scales. So you have, like, I have a few on my shelf that I'm looking at right now where a few are, like, 8 to 10 inches tall. They have, like, different grades of not so much the difficulty, but just the size. They have, like, different names for each tier and stuff. But, they have ones where like 2-3 feet tall, and those are like several hundred dollars. But I'd like to get one of them, but you know, I don't. That's one of those things that like, if I get one of those, I'm just done with the line. I won't need to build anything else. But as far as Dragon Ball Z goes, I have several that I've built, but these I bought recently. As far as model kits go, they have a line called Figure Rise, and I'll put on the camera here. I'll show this one first. I have three right here. I've built two of them, and there's one that I haven't built yet, but I just recently built this Krillin one. I don't know if you can see on the camera, but
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's I can bring them over here. The two that I built. Give me a quick second. I'll be right back.
Oh no, we're all digging out our hoards.
I wish my collection was as would be as big as your guys's, but most of my collection ends up at Justin's house.
Yeah, of course. When I step away, you guys start laughing, jerks.
Well, I gave half of my DVD collection to Kyle last time he was in town, so.
Yeah, I'm just messing you guys, man.
My duplicates.
Well, for instance, like, I go out and I'm like, I think it was Star Trek coasters. And I was like, oh, man, I really want these. And so I buy them and I'm like, oh, crap, my wife's going to be mad at me for spending money. So I'm like, you know what? I'll buy it as a gift for Justin, just so I can say I had it for a bit.
They're awesome.
So that's what I mean by, like, half of my stash is at Justin's, because, like, I just buy it and give it away because I'm like, you know, I'm on the hunt constantly to find all the different Lando Calrissians possible out there for Justin. And it's now to the point that I have to take a picture and go, have I got this one yet? I think there's probably about that's the newest one I've got. But yeah, like, I find them everywhere. Like, it's like when I first met Justin, he's like, Lando's my favorite guy, but you can never find, you know, his action figure except for the one that came out in the 90s that's in mass production. And then it's like, I go out there and I find every single variant they possibly made.
Send it to them. Send it to Justin.
Well, it's great too. I was thinking, you know, I should send this to Ponch, have him sign it, and send it back to me.
No. Well, you guys need, if you want me to autograph anything, you have to get the Lando Calrissian disguise kit. That thing is just a card of Lando Calrissian's face, and the actual item that you're buying is like a fake mustache.
Consider it done. Let's see.
Yeah, it's quite the item, man. It's pretty cool.
It always reminds me of the Zarlacc pit scene. It's like, I thought, you can't see, I thought you were blind. It's all right, I can see much better. Like that.
So I want to show you the Krillin, going back to Dragon Ball, sorry.
No, it's all good.
I don't know if you can see him, but...
See, that's amazing. That looks just like, that's the quality of SH.
Yeah,
the
man.
The joints and everything. I mean, and it's not nearly as expensive.
No, this. So the three kits, I'll show the other two. There's a store, one of the comic shops that I go to sort of weekly, biweekly. Throughout December and January, they had a sale where all Bandai figures and model kits were like, the store itself was like 20% off, and and the model kits, they average about 30-35 bucks each, and the Krillin one, since he's much smaller, it was much cheaper, and then with the discount I got this for, you know, really, really cheap. But it's like, it's fully articulated. You know, he was one of the quicker ones to build, and I was taking my time, so he took about 2 hours to build. But yeah, it's really cool. And you get, like, if you want to, you have the option of adding building different, like, face profiles. I'll show you one of the pieces here. So you can just assemble different faces, add them on if you want. Also, like, some energy effects and stuff. You can build that, too. You get the energy disc
here. Oh, that's you can nice. Build. That's nice. So,
that's really cool.
Yeah, so I've been getting into these a lot lately. I also built the two of the three that I bought recently is the we talked about this maybe in the last podcast or the episode before. The Super Saiyan 4 Goku, this guy here.
Oh, nice.
He's freaking cool. Really,
that's awesome.
I do have a question. Does Super Saiyan 4 Goku, does he make it into Super, or does he just end in GT?
For now, he's exclusive to GT, although I don't know for sure, but...
Very good question, by the way.
Yeah, there is a... I think last episode, like, Kyle, you weren't there when we were talking about it, but we had talked about a thing that's called Dragon Ball Legends, where it's kind of like an offshoot series. I don't know if it's canon with the rest of the Dragon Ball line, but I saw... I was doing some research because in the GT, you have Super Saiyan 4 Goku, but Vegeta, there's also a Super Saiyan 4 version of him. And so for these model kits, they also have a Vegeta, and surprisingly enough, they have like Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta and Vegito. Those I missed out, so I have to dig a little bit more to find those. But when I was researching the different kits based on those Super Saiyan 4s, they show like a slight variation of Goku, I think. And the image that I found had the Dragon Ball Legends logo next to it. So I don't know if it was a fan-made image or if it's something that he appears in. But again, I don't know if it's, even if he does appear in that series, I don't know if it's canon. So I don't know if you would count that as like, you know, official or not based on like, you know, like storyline canon. But yeah, for now, as far as I know, yeah, they're exclusive to the GT.
So, I'd always thought that mode was really, really cool when with Super Saiyan 4, because I noticed when he did his fight with Beerus, he never did it, and that would explain it. So blue hair apparently has taken kind of place for it.
Yeah,
it's funny because the red hair kind of just gets right out of the way and they go straight to blue now.
Yeah, it's so weird because like with the Battle of Gods movie, mm-hmm. you know, Goku turns into Super Saiyan God, the pink hair one, and you know, like they were selling it as if it was like some super hard level to get to, and you know, he had to, you know, like share the energies of the other characters on the cruise ship in order to turn into that.
They had to lend their power to him. Yeah,
Then, with Unborn Pan.
Yeah, but then, you know, like you said, by like episode 2025 and Super, these are already turning blue. You know, Super. I think the verbiage is crazy. I think it's like Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan. So it's like it's sort of like a redundant naming, but you know, so much for the pink.
I did like the KO Can mix with the Super Saiyan Blue though. That was they're pulling those old things up. Yeah.
Well, they do kind of make a reference to it when Vegeta's fighting the Saiyan from Universe 6. You know, and he said at first we called it you know, Super Saiyan God, but then we changed it to Super Saiyan Blue, which leaves room that they haven't quite reached Super Saiyan God yet, because, you know, so they're still striving to get to that point, and they just haven't reached it yet. But they've opened up a new level that nobody's seen before.
Yeah, I'll say nothing else.
Yeah, don't.
Well, Justin, you did say you did finish that tournament between Universe 6 and 7.
I'm up to episode 51 now.
Okay, perfect.
Okay,
I'll stick. I'm a man of my word. I will keep plowing through those. There's 131 episodes, so pretty soon I'll be halfway through, and I won't be a disgrace as much.
Yeah, good. Finally.
Yeah. Hey guys, is it still okay?
Yeah, so I'll quickly show my third
factory model sealed.
Kit. Nice. It's unbuilt. I mean, it's gonna be open anyway, but it's a Super Saiyan Goku. It's pretty cool. I'll show you some of the side stuffs. You know, it's pretty articulate. And what I like about this this model line is that all the characters you buy in this figure, figurized, all the characters are to scale. So on myself, I have Super Saiyan Vegeta, Piccolo, Cell, and there's also a Bulma where she has the that motorcycle she has from Dragon Ball that kind of like transforms into like different modes. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, all of that's to scale, so you won't have any weird weird size differences. So. Trying to think what else I've bought recently. Well, I'd say within the last month, yeah, some like online, you know, like the Dragon Ball figures from the Premium Bandai site. But
did you order Goldo and Birder?
Yeah, I ordered them last week.
Did you order Hit?
Yeah. So last week there was a Valentine's Day special where I think for 2 weeks There was select figures they had in the sale, and if you managed to order those figures within that time period, you get free shipping for those figures. So I got free shipping for Hit, but unfortunately it didn't carry over to Weiss and Girdle, so whatever.
I didn't get free shipping for anything, so at least you got something, because we know that story. It's all right.
Yeah, so
I know better now after you smartened me up.
Yeah, man. So, but as far as like other pickups, there's a store not too far from my job. I think it's called Book Off. It's a Japanese, I think it's Japanese run, or it's Japanese style, excuse me, in the sense of they sell a lot of like used things. It's kind of not quite like a pawn shop, because if you have stuff you want to offload, you can go to this store and they'll buy it off you, then resell it. But they have like video games, movies, comic books, whether it's like single issues or graphic novels or trades, manga, and then the video games like consoles and carts, individual games, certain electronics. But the thing I usually go for the most when I do go there are action figures. So they sell, they have an aisle where they have just sealed in box figures, but unfortunately they sell them for way more than they should be selling them. But they also have an aisle where they sell loose figures, and they have them like, you know, bagged up, and they have an aisle where they have like price for $1, other ones for $5, and others for $10. So I've bought so many recently, I don't have all them all available. They're all either on display or in my other room. But I've gotten like Nintendo related things, just like little miniature figurines that look really nice and nice sculpts.
What's the name of that store again, Ponch?
Book Off. I think it's like a mini chain. I don't know how many stores are in it, but
there it is. Book Off NYC.
Yeah.
I want to see if there's any views of the inside of the store.
You may have to, if they do, you may have to like go through Google Maps to find them. But
do they do like pawning too at the same time?
They have a location in Hawaii, and then they've got several in Southern California. By the way, just want to throw that in there.
Because I'm wondering if they're like Bookmans, because we have Bookmans here in Arizona, and it's like you can go, you can buy closed box, open box. You can buy stuff that, you know, they pawn stuff, you know, people can pawn stuff, but like that, those are the type of places I always go and find all the cool little knickknacks that I see, you know, like I found Star Trek.
This plate. Place is awesome.
Yeah. I don't think that you can pawn stuff to them. Like once you sell stuff to them, it's, you know, it's not yours anymore. So, you know, in that sense, the similarities of pawn shops are,
gotcha. You can only sell to them.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like what was cool is that, the inventory is like constantly changing, updating, definitely weekly, sometimes daily. Cause like even when I go, I'll go during my lunchtime, and a coworker of mine will go too, because he'll buy loose figures for himself and a lot of times for his son. But while we're there during our lunch break, we'll see anywhere from like 1 to 3 people coming in selling their stuff, and then whoever works they'll you know, look them over, see that what condition they're in, and then, you know, mostly, you know, if they are toys, and then they'll just restock them and then just put a price on them and sell them. But yeah, so a lot of times you'll have like certain things that will constantly be there, like a lot of the sealed in box stuff, since the majority of it's overpriced. A lot of times that stuff will stay, you know, will be there all the time. But like the loose figures, there's just so many of them that like there's definitely been times where like I'll find a figure and I'm not 100% sure I should pull the trigger in it, and then I'll put it back on the peg. And of course, even if I go to the next day, it's not there anymore. She's like, man, it sucks. So
yeah, I know how that goes. Jeez.
But yeah, Kyle, you're
now,
right.
Now, like, now I think.
Yeah. Oh, you looked up Bookman's.
Oh no, no. I was just gonna say like. Here, I'll look going there up. Just to find like random knickknacks. I'm not even like I know I want to find something, but I'm not sure exactly what. But I found like a lot of like little tiny. I think they're like gachapon type things, you know, like quarter machine type stuff. But like,
yeah.
But
so you're talking about the Tucson one, right, Kyle?
Well, there's one in Tucson, there's one in Phoenix, and then there's one in Flagstaff. So there's three of them.
Ponche sent a picture of that one, the story you're talking about. I sent it to Kyle. They got an Instagram page.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they get
all those Famicom games on there. Oh man.
Yeah, those N64 because like I just recently purchased because we have a store just very similar to it called Bookman's, and then we have another one similar to it called Zia Records, and so they have those. Some are in better conditions than others, and so like I go down there to go find everything, and you know like I've been hunting lately Nintendo 64 games. I just bought a. You know, because I want to relive my childhood, of course, with the Nintendo. And so yeah, I've been hunting all the old Nintendo stuff. And especially now that I'm an adult, I can get the Nintendo stuff my parents would never let me have.
I could always keep an eye out for you, too, like whenever I go to that book off store. Because I know they have 64 games there. So.
Well, and same thing, too, because like, we have specialty like... I don't know if Justin ever showed you like the Dragon Ball Z stuff that I found, like the one that was as big as my forearm.
That was the big blue robed Goku, Son Goku, I believe. It was a big statue. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I still have those pics. I'll send them to you.
Yeah, we get these specialties. So we have this guy who he travels the country to go to a bunch of places and pick up that stuff, and then he brings them here to Arizona, opens up during the wintertime, and sells them. And he actually sold them pretty good because I got that, I bought that SH Figuar Piccolo for like $39, and they're like $80 to $100 online.
Is it the first version or the newer one?
That I'm not sure. That I would have to defer to Justin.
Oh.
You talking about King Piccolo?
Whichever one I sent you.
Yeah, it's this guy, and I'm ashamed to say I've already lost two of the antennae, but I have plenty to spare in the box. they fall out of his head too easy.
Okay, yeah, that's King Piccolo, yeah.
He's a bad dude. You watch he's a nasty guy. He was a pretty evil guy. Far cry from what his spawn turned out to be, but. Anyway, but yeah, they have a bunch of antennae in there that you could swap out, and really they're all the same. I mean, it's maybe they put extras in there because they knew they were gonna fall out. So
yeah, this is.
I was gonna say I like how they've now so far downplayed Piccolo, you know, because he Goku and Vegeta constantly getting stronger, and in that tournament against the 6th and 7th universe, he goes, all I'm good for is delay, is losing in this fight. And they go, yep, pretty much.
Well, it's a waste of a character, a true waste of a character.
It really is, because he was, like they gave up on Krillin. You know, Krillin was, like, you know, all the way from the 80s to the mid-2000s, he was Goku's, like, rival besides Vegeta. Vegeta was just such a badass that they just, you know, they turned him from a bad guy to a good guy, and you know, and that they just have to rival each other constantly. But like Krillin used to be, you know, they trained together, they did everything together, and then Krillin used to be a pretty decent fighter. Now it's he can't do anything, and then they, you know, and it's sad that they changed some of the coolest characters to absolute just sidelined them.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Destructo Disc was a cool move, and he would have taken Nappa out if Vegeta hadn't warned Nappa in the first season or the second season or whatever. It's if he had not have warned Nappa about the Destructo Disc, he would have sliced him in half. And that, you know, Krillin was the kind of guy Very similar to Piccolo, where if he charged his power up, if he had time to charge up, he'll take you out one hit. You know, just like the special beam cannon and all that stuff. They weren't guys you wanted to mess with, and they were, especially, you know, Krillin got killed, what, twice? He got killed twice on Namek. You know.
Well, and then, you know, they've all kind of died. I mean, they ought to not have the fear of. I mean, they pretty much just go, oh, you know what? If I die, I'll just get brought back to life. Screw it. Let's go all out. It's like that's why like they're all scared. You know, when he asks Hit, you know, he's like, hey, let's lift the rules of the tournament. You know, because you can't fight to your strongest ability unless you have the ability to kill me. So, right. And you know, and Goku's like, well, if I die, I'll just go to King Kai's place. And then somehow Bulma will go get the Dragon Balls and bring me back. So it's, you know, so it's like, yeah, let's fight to your heart's content.
Well, and they really made Goku turn into kind of an idiot in that series where he's so obsessed about just fighting people to the point of being a moron. And then once he really is in the heat of battle and really turns things up, then he gets more serious. But he's kind of a goof. And he seems, if they're legitimately doing that and tracking with the overall timeline, it seems maybe because he's older now, maybe he's kind of losing his mind a little bit.
He's only 40, Justin.
Or 39.
39.
Is that his canon age? Is it?
Well, it's,
how'd you
it's,
figure that out? I don't know that.
Well, so
that's why he still looks good.
It explains it in the Beerus storyline where, you know, he goes, they say in 39 years you're going to run into your guy, and it kind of explains that Beerus went to sleep right around the same time that he arrived. So it kind of gives you a hint at Goku's age because, and I think the reason they put that there was for two reasons. One, to say, well, this is why Beerus wasn't around when Frieza was kicking gear. And the other reason is to kind of justify where Goku is, because Goku, you know, he has Gohan, Goten, and now Pan is his grandkid. So they're kind of trying to justify, you know, he's having a family, but he's still pretty young because a 40-year-old is
a 40-year-old. That's pushing it.
Yeah, and I mean, 40 years old or in your 40s, people can stay pretty darn strong. Yeah.
No, so, I'm just saying I don't want, like, some of the details escape me because I'm not sitting at the edge of my seat listening to every part of the script and absorbing everything. And sometimes I'll have to watch things a few times, but yeah, I didn't catch that. But I was just like, it was interesting because I'm like, they also commented how great he looks. Like, he doesn't look like old at all. And he's like, well, thanks, but I have a grandfather. It's like, yeah, barely.
I just actually Googled his actual age thing. So I'm actually off by a year. It says he's actually 38. It says Goku's physical abilities are at the age of a 31-year-old, but he's 38. So he's 10 years difference in his body strength. But like me. I mean, yeah. But then again, you know, I don't know how it says his mental abilities are 38 because I mean my mental abilities a 4-year-old. So, and it's kind of how they make him, but. It's also, if you do watch the Japanese version versus the English version, his personality is, it's really different because of the words that they use. And, you know, it's very different. But personally, I think Dragon Ball has probably picked the best voice actors to do a transformation from Japanese to an American out of any show out there. Now, that's just my opinion. But, I mean, each character have different complete voices. Like Piccolo has an awesome voice, and some of the people in the American version, I like their voices better than some of the Japanese version too. I'll leave it there. So yeah.
I was doing that thing the last episode we were talking about the Japanese voice when they're like fighting really rapidly.
Yeah.
So when someone mentions like the Japanese voice, it makes me think of that. But yeah, it's I think that I don't think of Goku as a grandfather. He certainly doesn't look that bad unless he's using hairspray.
And I honestly forget about Pan the entire time too. It's like Pan just exists just to keep Gohan kind of in the picture and on the side. You know,
there's another kind of
sidelining. It's from Dragon Ball Z to that, Gohan. You know, Gohan would have been who I thought would be constantly fighting next to Goku's side, constantly,
or be the successor. You know,
but then again, you know, that's what happens when you have a show that's been on the air for over 30 years. You know, it's just. You know, they got to change for the times and adjust, and you know, so it's a difficult thing that they got to do. But you know, some people like it, some people hate it.
Can't please everybody.
Unfortunately, not.
Yeah, well, I was gonna ask a question on, in regards to maybe future releases of figures for these guys, because you know, I would have liked, this probably will not happen, but I would have liked to have had maybe some more Namekians made, even though the fact that they're not main characters, but I would like to have the Guru made and have the throne, like that big chair he was in, and have Nail and have who's the little guy?
Dende? Also,
Dende, thank you. He's in the Watchtower. I want Mr. Popo would be cool.
I don't think he'll ever get made.
I had a kitten named Mr. Popo.
Yeah. He's kind of a character. He's just there.
Right, and that's the thing. I actually do have a Korin figure and a Yajirobe from the Funimation line, which is kind of neat. It's just a little static PVC of Korin, which is kind of cool. So I like the obscure characters, but I mean, I think it's great we're getting Ginyu Force. It's great that we're getting you know, the releases, I don't even know, like new releases, what's coming out. I'm not privy to that, but I know they do a lot of redos and that kind of thing, but...
Yeah, I can tell you, the next... Well, see, the thing is, you have stuff that will appear in, like, retail-ish stores, not, like, Target retail, but, you know, brick-and-mortar stores, and then you have, like, the Bandai website exclusive stuff, so, but as far as, like brick and mortar release, I think the next one's supposed to be a Piccolo 2.0, where he's got like updated articulation.
The Proud Namekian.
Yes.
Yeah, that's already out on pre-order. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I think that's the next one, and then after him, I believe. I just had it in my head too. And I'm trying not to get confused with the website exclusive ones. I think they're a Gohan or another Goku. I can't remember. But yeah, I think they've announced some of the. Actually, you might have had some of them on pre-order. Like anything you have on Big Bad Toy Store.
That's
a pretty good indicator on what's coming out next. Because like the when they do have the Bandai exclusive ones, those are super expensive. Even on Big Bad, so whatever's like standard price on Big Bad, that's a good gauge on like knowing what's coming out next. So
I think Hit was a website exclusive, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, because I didn't see him on anything else.
Yeah, so I think I'll look, but I think they I might have mentioned this before, but I've noticed like in the past, like I say 5 years past and beyond that. They would have, you know, on like show, like Comic Cons or special events like that, they would have at their booth, they would have like, of course, the figures are released and available at that point. And then they'll also show a lot of concept figures and some upcoming stuff. So at that time, anything concept was just there purely for concept. Whereas now it's more on the reverse where they'll release concept figures just to get fan reaction and the gauge, you know, interest gauge.
Right.
And most likely, whatever they have on display at these events, most likely they'll get released. Like Ginyu Force, that was something that was teased for the longest time, but then when they finally revealed they had it at one of the shows, then eventually got released. So same thing with Shenron and, you know, the many Gokus and all the other stuff. So
and then we'll get a Choppa, hopefully. Don't know if that's gonna happen.
A who?
Who Choppa? It's Chompa, or who's the guy? Who's Beerus' brother? Is it Choppa?
That's Chompa.
Oh, the chunky guy.
Yeah. He'd be funny.
I'm not sure. I mean, it'd be cool if they expanded even further. I mean, they've been dipping, going back to a lot of the original Dragon Ball series. I think recently they just announced this girl called, well, depending on where you get the naming, her name's either Launch or Lunch.
You know, oh, jeez.
So, because, you know, with Dragon Ball, they like to, when it comes to naming, they like to name after either food or underwear, so undergarments.
Nice.
So, I mean, yeah, like Piccolo, Goku, Chaozu and Tien, those are like, I think, like Chinese or Japanese food items.
Well, Vegeta, so, you know.
Yeah, Vegeta.
You have Garlic Jr.
Then I think you have a city called Broccoli, I think. Something like that.
Paragus kind of reminds you of Asparagus, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Broly's father, Paragus. So, at any rate, yeah, that's, I think it's a good time to park it here. We're going to put our minds together and think about content coming on later on the show, but I think we're going to be possibly honing in on certain, maybe some of our favorite character profiles, but we'll talk more about that for down the road, but maybe some of our favorite characters. But yeah, so thank you everybody for sticking with us, and Ponch, Kyle, do you guys have anything before we jet out of here? I know Kyle's muted, but
so, well, no, I'm here. I was going to say, well, it's always fun talking about
toys
and collecting stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm outside. Here in Arizona, we can actually go out in the middle of the night.
That's cool.
Kyle, we don't know snow.
I got plenty of it here.
Feel free to share.
A quick question, Kyle. How are you much of a wrestling fan? Because I wouldn't mind doing more wrestling talk.
Yeah, great. Well, actually, that's why I was sending Justin some wrestling figurines. I actually was talking to... So I actually had a friend of mine who actually almost was WWE. He was actually picked up and put on WWE, but he decided to pursue actual fighting due to the pay difference. And now this was actually when it was actually WWF, I would assume, because this was in 1997 is when this would have happened. Right.
Yeah.
His name is, which actually one of the biggest shames of having COVID last year was there was actually going to be a movie about him coming out.
Oh, wow.
And the movie was canceled. Well, or at least put on hiatus right now. But it was the guy's name is Mark Kerr, the Fighting Machine, or the Smashing Machine was his nickname, or the Titan. He had actually signed with WWF in 97. But when I had asked him, you know, why didn't you do that route? And he said, well, it was the difference between $3,000 and $10,000.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
And so... And he goes, if I would have done WWF, I would have, I probably would have had a lot longer career and everything like that. And I wouldn't be in the shape I am today. But he goes, I still take pride in what I did. And he was a pride fighter in a UFC. He was one of the founding fathers of UFC. So you can watch one of his documentaries. He's actually probably one of the nicest guys I've ever known in my entire life. Yeah, but yes, I do. I've always liked several people. And WWE. I just recently started watching AEW because several of my friends in the UK, that's what they watch is AEW.
It's fun, and, man.
It is, and I like some of the storylines. They're just absolutely. They're just great. You like they have this the whole cult underground. I think what is it called? The Dark Order or something?
Oh yeah, Dark Order.
And it just gets fun. They're like you can go think. You can actually go and register and become a member of the Dark Order, you know, and it's like it's pretty cool. Like,
that's nice.
They got all these cool little niches about it, and you know, so I'm learning, and I'm also learning that my friends are, you know, my WWE friends are like, oh, we don't necessarily like AEW, and my AEW friends are like, yeah, we don't like WWE. It's like, you know, it's pretty fun to watch, but I like watching both. I enjoy watching both.
I still like AEW's first pay per view. That they ever did, it was hilarious.
Oh, the All Out.
That battle royal that they had was hilarious. It was awesome. Just because get people like Jim Cornette thought it was so bad, that makes me like it even more.
Man, he annoys me at times, man.
He's like, kind of going off the rails a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so hard to choreograph some of that stuff. I mean, like when they're slamming somebody down, you know, it's like if you don't do it right, they're paralyzed for the rest of their life. You know? So yeah. I mean, they're like I asked, you know, like I think one time I made the comment about the WWE versus, you know, regular fighting, and my buddy Mark Kerr did actually make a point. He made a really valid point. He goes, when you're pulling a punch or something, he said, it's actually more dangerous on your body to pull a punch than it is to follow through with it. It can pull the muscle, it can twist, it can damage you. And then he said, too, it takes a lot more stamina to act what they're doing. You're using all your muscles, you're using your body, you're picking up weight, and you've got to hold your stamina versus into a real fight. In a real fight, all that stamina is gone in the first, you know, after you've gone blow to blow with the person in the first couple rounds, you know, they're exhausted and they got to have those breaks in there.
Right.
But with the WWE, what do you got? You got a 10 to 15 minute match on TV where these guys are going at each other. And I mean, some of that stuff, I mean, it can't feel good to be thrown into the corner there and kicked right into the corner. I mean, even though they're pulling it a little bit, it's still got to hurt. And then especially the guys when they get thrown out the ring and they miss, you know, like they miss and go completely out and into the crowd. Those can't feel – I remember watching an interview and one of the guys said they choreographed it to where, you know, they come up and they grab him and they throw him before he even gets to the ring. And he ended up going through a glass window on the – or the glass thing, and he got up and they still did the thing, and he goes, by the end of it I had to go to the hospital to make sure that my neck wasn't broken.
That's insane.
Well, you remember with AEW, it's funny you mention them, because I don't know if you guys saw the, you know, the thing with which one's the crazy one, which Hardy brother is the crazy
guy? Matt
Hardy he hit his head really, really hard at that pay-per-view here several months back, and that was hard to watch. And
yeah, that was...
He was all dazed and everything. I think he got a concussion, and that's hardcore. They didn't stop the match. They didn't want to stop the match. You know?
And it's like... It's definitely... I mean, those guys go through a lot. Blood, sweat, tears, do what they do.
Hey, your car Bluetooth is trash. Can you switch over to Medical Channel 2, please? Can't hear him at all. Anyway, about I think we're gonna table this wrestling thing for now, and next episode we'll get in on this, because I think this is really good. This is really good stuff, and Major Tom to Ground Control, we're going to call it good on this episode. The Eagle has landed. And so Tranquility Base, the Eagle has landed. So we're going to table the wrestling for next episode. I think this is a great springboard So, because we'll revisit the Dragon Ball stuff later on down the road because it's so cool. But we're gonna take a few episodes respite from any of that, and because there'll be new stuff to talk about, I'm sure. So yeah, guys, thank you for joining me tonight, and it's great. It's glad to have both you guys here because, you know, we're essentially in three different time zones, and I think that kind of makes it special for a podcast.
We're time travelers.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode. And everyone, have a great time. Whatever you're doing, have a good time. Be fun. Be safe. And we'll catch you later.